I was telling the choir before the service that on Thursday night, our family went to see Hey Viola at the Gateway Theater. Has anybody else seen that production? I'm sorry, I want to recommend it, but I think they closed last night. It was wonderful. But coming out of the show, you know, the lights came up, we all stood up and started to slowly leave. I saw a guy coming down the steps who I completely recognized. Well, I didn't completely recognize him. I couldn't remember his name. We both smiled at each other. We recognized each other. Hi, how are you? I could not remember his name. And you know what? I couldn't actually even remember how I knew him. But I had this feeling like we used to be friends. But it's been many years. And the crowd was moving. We didn't have a chance to talk. We just said a quick, warm hello. Have you ever had that kind of experience where you run into someone and you know them, but you don't know who they are? Oh, it's frustrating. It's been bothering me since that night. Like every time my mind just wanders to there and it's like, I can picture him. I just can't remember. Did I play hockey with him? Was he in the church? I don't know. Something like that happened to the two disciples. They were walking on the road to the small town that's a little distance from Jerusalem. And a stranger kind of catches up with them. They don't recognize him. They don't think they know him at all, actually, so different than my situation. But something about their interaction as they talk about the incredible things that happened recently, they're strangely drawn to this stranger. And as we sang, they ask him, don't keep going, stay with us. It's getting late. Stay with us. And it's only when he breaks the bread, that familiar act of them sitting together and breaking bread together, that their eyes are opened and they recognize him. I'm still hoping my eyes will be opened and I will recognize that old friend. Sometimes it's hard to recognize when Jesus is there with us. It's true for all of us. It's easy to forget. We don't have the benefit of his physical presence. When those disciples went back, well, they hurried back after this appearance to tell the other disciples. So they had that long walk back to Jerusalem. I bet you it was faster because they were excited. And they told them. And they heard another story. Apparently Simon Peter had seen Jesus too. And we know from other sources, other gospels, that Mary Magdalene and some other women had also seen Christ. These stories, we have these episodes of people meeting the risen Christ. And they really do break down into two categories. One is like the one this morning and the one on Easter morning, you may remember, when Mary Magdalene saw Jesus and thought maybe he was the gardener. She didn't recognize him right away. Remember that? Today's the same way. There's several stories where they don't recognize Jesus right away. And then there are other ones. The other category is like the one we talked about last week with Thomas and the disciples in that huddled together in that room where Jesus appeared. And they, of course, right away recognized him because he spoke to them, showed them his scars. And they're amazed. Sometimes it's obvious when we're in the presence of the divine. We can't ignore it. Sometimes we don't recognize it at all until something twigs. Something makes us aware, whether it's the breaking of the bread, some music perhaps, seeing a beautiful butterfly in the garden. Think about the different ways that you remember becoming aware of being in the presence of the Holy One. Whether you would have named that presence Jesus or in a different way. On Thursday before I went to the show at the Gateway Theater, we had our very first in-person sit-down in the church community meal in over 3 years. And we were excited. Pretty much everybody there was excited. There was a squadron of volunteers. I was amazed. There must have been, 20 volunteers over the course of the afternoon who helped prepare the meal and then serve it. There was still a whole bunch of us there to help serve it and welcome people. And people came in and they were delighted. Lots of hellos. I mean, familiar faces that we've been seeing downstairs. Some new faces that we hadn't seen in a while, or brand new faces we had never met. But at a certain point, I had that moment of recognition as we broke the bread, or as in the case was meatloaf. There was some bread too. As we ate together, as we gathered, the presence of the risen Christ was with us. I recognized Christ in the kindness and the welcome shared, the friendships renewed, the joy we experienced. But resurrection is not always tidy. It's not always neat and easy. There's grief, there's confusion, and hopefully there's recognition. But not all the problems are solved. Not all the doubters are convinced. Not all the enemies become friends. As Shakespeare said, I can't remember who was Horatio in? Hamlet, of course. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. And maybe the English teachers or professors can tell us who said that. I can't remember. There are more things in heaven and earth than we dream of. Nadia Boltz-Weber is a Lutheran preacher who is covered in tattoos. And she preaches quite often in the prisons in the Denver area where she does most of her ministry. But she's recognized as one of the great preachers of our time. And she pointed out in her sermon recently that resurrection tracks with the messiness of the rest of Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was not all neat and tidy, and resurrection is the same. Jesus went about the countryside turning water to wine, eating with all the wrong people, casting out demons, angering the religious establishment. He touched the unclean, and he used spit and dirt to heal the blind, and said crazy things like, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And sell all you have and give it to the poor, and pray for those who persecute you." And the thing that really shocked people wasn't the question, "Is Jesus like God?" It was really, "What if God is really like Jesus? What if God is not who we thought? What if the most reliable way to know God is not through religion, not through reward and punishment, what if the most reliable way to know God is to look at how God revealed God's self in Jesus, even in Jesus' wounds, his scars?" Now, jumping to another piece of more modern culture, I don't know if there are any fans of the U.S. version of the show The Office here. Does anybody watch The Office? Gen Xers, right? We know that show. Rainn Wilson is one of the main characters. He plays a really quirky, weird guy. But he's a really interesting person who has recently written a book about spirituality. He's a devoted Baha'i person. And he said something that I really found quite profound and relevant about spirituality. He said, "The reason why spirituality is important is because it is reality. That we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Who I am and what I am is not my body, not even my personality. It's not the trauma I've suffered. It's not even what I've been through. There is a spark of the divine within me. There's hard data," he says, "to show around mental health and well-being that having serenity, meaning, and purpose, losing ourselves to a transcendent self of the divine, increases greatly the quality of our lives. We are part of something much greater and much more beautiful than ourselves, and living in that state can greatly enrich your life." I think most of us in this room know how true that is. It's easy to get hung up on people worrying about, "Do you really believe that Mary was a virgin and Jesus was conceived divinely? Do you really believe that Jesus fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a bit of fish? You really believe that magical stuff? Do you really believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead? with our paradigm these days, that stuff is hard to swallow. We struggle with resurrection, with Jesus appearing out of nowhere. We struggle with miracle and mystery. But what is life without magic and miracle? As Rainn Wilson said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. He was quoting somebody, actually. But the question is, what is our foundational reality? Are we caterpillars becoming butterflies? Or are we butterflies just becoming ourselves? There's an important difference. It is about the story that we tell about ourselves, about the world. Is it a story of get more, take care of your own, dog eat dog, struggle? Or is it a radically different narrative than the meritocracy, the imperial, colonial, patriarchal story of power over others? Or do we follow, do we live a narrative of self-giving love, of deep acceptance of ourselves and one another, of profound belonging instead of profound aloneness and isolation? The story that we tell about ourselves, the story that we live every day, matters. And Christ's resurrection puts an exclamation point on the story he was telling all along, that we are beloved children of God, that our life is not dependent on what we have or who thinks they're in charge or all the other things that we measure the life then and now, but that we have a whole different narrative to our being. How do we believe in the virgin birth or the feeding of the 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes? How do we believe in resurrection? Well, this is how. The birth of Christ was about a powerless young woman welcoming and giving birth to God. We believe in the miracle of the feeding of 4,000 or 5,000 and more because we believe that people are fed with abundant sharing and that scarcity is a lie. We believe in resurrection because we know life comes out of death. When that life is connected fully to the divine source. Jesus demonstrated it, the butterflies demonstrated, all the trees and the flowers demonstrated every spring, and we have even experienced it in our own lives. Recovery from trauma, surviving 4-stage cancer. I just heard another story about that this past week. The stories of resurrection are there. But do we own them as the story? Is this our narrative? Can we open our eyes to the reality of transformation? Like moving from the eyes of a caterpillar who can barely sense light and darkness to new eyes that recognize all kinds of color and dimension and clarity. Shannon Watson is a member of this congregation who has not been able to be with us for a while, but she writes beautifully, and she, you may remember her from all the beautiful pictures that she takes. She's a wonderful photographer. She posted something on Facebook recently that I asked her if we could share it, and she said, sure. So she wrote this, I think, just 3 or 4 days ago. Today I saw many beautiful things and had such a nurturing afternoon. After work, I went to have a chat with someone I'd only met a couple of times, and he listened deeply to what I had to say. He offered gentle insights and thoughtfully responded to me. He offered me a beautiful prayer. On my way home, I noticed the tall buildings, a different part of town from where I live, and the sun was out and the sky reflected on the buildings. I got on the bus and the sun was shining through the trees. I helped a man figure out if he was on the right bus. He was not. While walking home, I noticed someone curled up under a tree and felt concerned, but I wasn't sure about approaching them. Just then, a man who had just parked got out of his vehicle and walked up to the person and asked if they were okay. They said yes. So he turned around and went wherever he was going. It was beautiful to see his care for that other person whom he did not know. And I felt relieved that they were okay. Got home and texted my sister, who made me laugh, LOL. Chatted briefly with an online friend who called me sweetheart. Watched a video of a small child singing in Cree with someone else who had a lovely voice. These are moments of love, says Shannon. I agree. And they are moments of resurrection also. They are moments of recognizing the new life springing all around us. But we need to see with new eyes. Thanks be to God. Amen.